in the Chutzpah, it's Parshas Naso, is being read this week. So let's devote just a few minutes here to a couple of ideas in Parshas Naso. First, let's discuss just very briefly Berachas Kohanim. In Perek Vav, in Bamidbar, Chaf Beis, Chaf Gimel, this is where we start. Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe l'emor, Deber Aharon el Banav l'emor, Kosev Rachus b'nei Yisrael, l'emor l'hem. They have to say it out loud. Kol Ram, so we can hear it. It's not enough that we know we're getting a bracha. Hashem wants us to hear our getting the bracha from the Kohanim. This itself is an important idea, because the Medrash says, for instance, the Al Kishimodi in Babirba Perek Vav, it says, Amar Yeshua ben Levi, V'inayin shakosh baruch hu mis'ave lebirchas kohanim, sh'nehem v'sabu ishmi al b'nei Yisrael v'ani al varchem. You place their, my name upon them, I will bless them. He's mis'ave lebirchas kohanim. I learned once, many years ago, from Rav Moshe Shapiro, Zichat Tzadik Mekadosh Levracha, the difference between taiva and chemda is chemda is a certain thing that you want. It's a goal. Again, but taiva is a process. Taiva is, I want to be involved in a process. Rav Shmuel Levi is teaching us in the Yalkut here that Kosh Baruch Hu is mis'ave. The process he's kaviyachol desirous of. Why? Because the process binds together the Jewish people. We said the Jewish people need to hear the bracha, not just know that a bracha has been given to them. We're not just, we want to walk away with the booty, the loot. Yeah, they gave us a bracha. We want to hear from them that the Kohanim are giving us the bracha. And in addition, Hashem is mis'ave for the process where the Kohanim realize that they're giving a bracha to the Jewish people. It's very interesting. Birbache says, where is it? But Rebachi says in Perek Vav, Pasuk Chav Gimel, it says, Ko Sivarchu is B'nei Yisrael. So this is Rebachi, Ko Chafei, 25. Ulefi she'asin limsor lahem esri v'arba matonos kahuna, im zehem esri v'chamisha. The Ko Sivarchu is B'nei Yisrael is meant to teach you that this is kilei matnas kahuna. The 24 gifts, as it were, awards that take place from the Jewish people to be given to the Kohanim. The Korbanos, Truma, Trumas Maaser, etc. But this is like Ki'ilu number 25, Ko, Chafei. You think about it. To give someone else a bracha is a schus. So for Klaus to know they receive the bracha from the Kohanim, and the Kohanim to know that they're giving a bracha to the Jewish people is a merit, is a gift. It's more like the 24 awards of gifts that the Jewish people give to them. They have another gift, the opportunity to give the Jewish people a bracha. That's why Kodesh Baruch Hu is mis'ave. He desires the process of Birchas Kohanim because it binds together the people in such a splendid, exquisite fashion. Pardon me. Let's take a look at the bracha itself. There are many different permutations of the bracha. Many, many. But let's just address what I think you'll get a lot of mileage out of. Yivrecha Hashem Yishvrecha. Rashi says, Yivrecha Shizborchu Lechasecha. It's a physical bracha. You should be successful. You should be blessed. Successful. What's the Yishvarecha? So again, I'm going to go with the Or HaChaim over here. Rashi says something similar, but not quite the same. Or HaChaim says something else. He's with the Shmira. He's an old Yirtzi of Recha, Velo Yisovev Ra, Me'abracha Kederach Pentispa. Right? So Or HaChaim is telling us that the Shmira that we need is to make sure that the temporal bracha, the physical bracha, like Rashi says, use the bracha nicha asecha. Your assets should be successful. You should be successful. But we don't want a situation of umashalim le sona valpanav lavido. We don't want a situation of where the wealth is our undoing. Success is our undoing. When we say kochivi otzim yadi asli sechay lezeh, where we begin to forget the priorities of our life, our soul priorities, because we're so caught up in our physical luxuries. Recha Hashem Yishmerecha. Bless, right? To bless the Jewish people temporally, physical bracha, Yishmerecha, they should be guarded, they should be guarded. Rashi talks about the idea that should be guarded, should be taken away from us. The Or HaChaim is telling us something a step further. It should be guarded that it shouldn't take us away from the truth. Recha Hashem Yishmerecha. Ya'er Hashem Parav Elecha V'chuneka. What is Ya'er? Light. Says the Sforno, Ya'er, Yigala Einecha Be'or Ponov L'habit Niflos V'torosu V'ma'asov Achashet Hasid Tzorchecha V'brechoso. This is the second bracha. Your physical needs need to be met. That was Yivrecha Hashem Yishmerecha. Because if you're preoccupied with your situation, your desperate physical situation, it's hard to focus and grow in a ruchni sense. Obviously, the biggest people do anyway, but we're asking that we shouldn't be tested in such a fashion. Ya'er, Shem should give us light. Yigala einecha be'or ponav. In other words, if you are zocher, then you see the Torah and you see Hashem's deeds, His creations. You see the world around you through the lens that allows Hashem's light to pass through it. It's a different view of the world. Hashem has lit up the world for you. It's on a wavelength that perhaps the rest of the world doesn't see it that way, but you can see it that way. Ya'er Hashem panav elecha v'chuneka. What's a v'chuneka? So Rabbi Yosef Bechor Shor says v'chuneka is yeshenosni matana tova, says Rabbi Yosef Bechor Shor, Perek Vav Pasuk Chaf Hei here in Parshas Nasal Bamidbar. I call atzevim aleha. There's some people receive a gift and everybody else is not happy with it. Chutz min hanosin shenasal, except for the one who gave it to him. The one who gave him a gift, you got it. So Yosef Choshor says, yeshenosni matana tova. I call atzevim aleha. What's the pshat here? What's the pshat? Well, why is this more of a concern than physical bracha? Everybody should be happy that I have a physical bracha. Here we're talking about shmira. Here we're talking about chuneka. We should have chain. I just say the explanation is because if Hashem blesses you so that you see the wonders of the Torah, both within the Torah and the way that you examine Hashem's hashgacha, the way you examine Hashem's hanhaga, the way you examine Hashem's creation, if you see it in the light of Hashem, to bless it. But if those who are looking at you, they look at it with tzaras ayin, ach, that great light is lost. The greatness of the light is not that it should illuminate for you. The greatness of the light is that through it being illuminated for you, you illuminate it for others. That's the bracha of Aras Ponim. Your face should be like a reflector. As the light reaches you, it should reflect off of you, and others should benefit from it, from that wisdom. But in order for others to benefit from you, you have to have chen in their eyes. They have to want to learn from you. Not to see you as I don't know, conceited. Not to see you as hypocritical. Not to see you as any sort of excuse that a person might have for not learning from another. It's an important thing. And finally, Yisa Hashem Ponav Elecha V'Yisem Lecha Shalom. This is the fail-safe mechanism. We've had temporal bracha, we've had spiritual bracha, but we need now a contingency plan where if you mess up. Rashi says, Yisa Hashem Ponav Elecha Yichvosh Kaaso. We messed up. Hashem will be kovish his kaas. Right? Shall we covetous kas? Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha V'Yisem Lecha Shalom. He will covetous kas, or another way you can understand it also is that he will look towards us. Right? He'll lift up his face towards us, not look away from us, maintain the connection, maintain the relationship. V'Yisem Lecha Shalom, once again, give us shalom. Shalom is the ultimate kli shel bracha. Shalom is achieved when a person is totally mevatel himself to Hashem. He's zochet shalom. So Hashem won't abandon us even if we do mess up. He will help us, he will aid us, he will guide us, right, to return to him. Yisa Hashem panav elecha, he won't allow his anger, as it were, to block us any further. Yisem lecha shalom. The ultimate contingency plan. Okay. Let's examine one more topic. Also, once again, briefly, that's the topic of Jewish leadership. We have in Parshas Noson, in Perek Zayin, we have the discussion of the inauguration of the Mikdash, Mishkan. And let's just address a few points here. In Pasuk Beis, in Perek Zayin, it says, "Ve'akrivu nesiyei Yisrael roshei beis avosam, heim nesiyei hamatos, heim ha'umdim al ha'pekudim." Rashi says, "Heim nesiyei hamatos," pointing them out. Who are they? We're familiar with them. How are we familiar with them? "Shayu shotrim aleihem b'mitzayim, v'ayu mukim aleihem." These were the Jewish policemen in Mitzrayim who absorbed the blows for their brothers, for their brethren. They would not beat their brethren, rather they were beaten by the Mitzrim. These are the people who can lead, people with most nefesh for the klal. Let's keep on going. There are more lessons in Jewish leadership here. It says, "V'yavil es korbanam lifnei Hashem sheish elos tzav u'shnei asar bakar egla u'shnei ha'nesi'im v'shor le'echad v'yakrivu osam lifnei ha'mishkan." So what are these? Eglos Tzav. These are the covered wagons. And they initiated this. This is a very krivo son. L'fnei Mishkan, shalom kibol Moshe miyadam ad shenem lo v'pia makom. He never taught them to bring this. They spontaneously decided on their own to bring this. Says Rashi, once again, in Pasuk Gimel here in Perek Zayin. Amar Rav Nosson, maro on the seam l'snandev kan. Why is it the Nesiim were the first to contribute to the inauguration of the Mishkan? When we're talking about the building of the Mishkan, they weren't the first. Al contrary, they were the last. A little bit of an arrogant approach. When it came to the donations for building the Mishkan, Nisim said, let everybody bring what they want, and what's left over, we will take care of. They were derelict in their duty. They were derelict in their duty. Because they were, what did they do? They said, when it came to building the Mishkan, let the Jewish people as a whole bring, and then what's left over, of course, we'll take care of. Again, as I said before, this is an arrogant approach. Why are you assuming they're going to leave anything over? And in fact, there was nothing left over. It is fascinating, though, the Medrash points out that the name of the Nesiim is written without a Yud. It's written Chaser. Why? To inform us of the flaw, to a Chaser. Mitzad Sheni, the Medrash brings the Nesiim. It is a reference also. We know Nesiim, things lifted up to a reference to clouds. What do you mean by clouds? So when they realized that they had nothing else to bring, everything had been brought. The only thing that hadn't been brought were the Avnei Shom and the Avnei Miluim. But where would they get them from? Where were they meant to get these beautiful stones from? The clouds dropped them by their doorstep. It's fascinating. Fascinating. Rav Tzadok, I think, if I remember correctly. No, perhaps it's Hasemis. Says that you see from here that when you do tshuva, right, after you hit rock bottom, you should know that is the first stepping stone to a great aliyah. And as they admitted their mistake, right? But what were they going to do about it? So since they chosen tshuva, Kosh Baruch Hu gave them the opportunity to bring the stones, to have the Shom, to have the Miluim, he brought them in a miraculous fashion. So anyway, that was their experience. That was their experience with regard to the dava of the Mishkan. Dava of the Mishkan. But now is time has come to inaugurate the Mishkan itself, to inaugurate the Mizbeach. Therefore, they're joining the spot. They come first. And anyway, so that this idea that we saw that the Nesiim realize their mistake. That's pointed out in Shmos Lamed. Hey, Pasuk Chav Zion. There it's pointed out that the Nesiim is written over there, right? Without any Yud, it's written Chosem. So Rashi points out over there, but to point out that they made a mistake. Here they decide to come, right, and bring the Nedava from the Mishkan first. I see the Rashi there in Shmos Lamed Hei Chav Zayin. But what's fascinating, right? So we see the first thing is that real leadership, they're not arrogant. When they were arrogant, they were approached, as it were. They do tshuva. They're not afraid to admit their mistakes and to learn from them. Let's go a step further. Now they're giving with enthusiasm, but Moshe Rabbeinu is not sure whether Hashem wants it accepted. Now Hashem tells you, yes, do accept it. By all means, accept it. So now, they bring Sheikh Eglos Tzav, six covered wagons. Swana points out in Perek Zayin Pasuk Gimel, Hagola of Shnei Nesiim, Laos Achva Beinehem, unity. This is a fundamental thing. Unity. Each two Nesiim brought one Hagola. Unity. To show that there was brotherhood in their midst. It's interesting also, if I remember correctly, when Yosef sends Hagolos
back to his father. And if Israel time is alive, he should come down to Mitzrayim, etc. So we're all familiar with the parish that says the Aglos were remiss, those wagons were remiss to the fact that the last thing, last inyan that Yosef learned with Yaakov before he disappeared was the inyan of Egla Rufa. And the Maral points out the idea of Egla Rufa is that you're meant to give the person not only food and lodging but also escort, because the escort shows that he is a choshev person, he's someone worthy of protection, worthy of that escort. And by doing that, that should give him an additional spiritual protection. So he's promised to his father. This would be promised to his father that Ki'ilu, I have been protected all this time. Right, the remez of Egla Rufa. I've been protected. But there's another parish the Medrash brings down that it was referenced to the Agolos. The Agolos were literally a reference, really called a remez to the Agolos that we brought in the Midbar. This is also very significant because we know from Farshim that Yaakov Avinu all along, even if he didn't already 100% clearly, but he definitely was koshed that the enmity between the brothers is what brought about the disappearance of Yosef, subsequently the disappearance of Shimon. The enmity, the remnant that Yosef was sending him, was the Eglo, the Agolos, who remembers on the Eglo Sav of the Midbar. Unity. That's an important thing for Jewish leadership. Not everybody trying to make a name for themselves at the expense of someone else. Unity. In addition, we see another lesson here of humility. Rashi points out in Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayia Makriv, Vayomer Rishon. So Rebbe Bachi points out, what do you mean Vayia Makriv? What's the Vav? Vayia Makriv? No one else before him. Why is there a Vav? What are we connecting to? Actually, I apologize, it's not on the Vayi. It's Vikorbano. Karas Kesef, Achas. In Pasuk Yud Yim. Vikorbano. Why did Korbano? No one else is given first. The first one to give is Nachshon and Aminadav. Says Rabbi Navachi to point out you're not number one. You didn't value number one. You can't think of yourself that way. Korbano. Don't allow yourself to become conceited, complacent. Don't become a Balgaiva. For the same reason also it says by Nachshon, by Makriv, Mishon is Kobano. Doesn't say Nasi Vnei Yehuda. Left it out. Once again, humility. Just says Nachshon and anybody. No, by all the other ones, it says Nasi. Not here. And finally, right? So humility, unity, admitting one's mistakes, right? Eagerness and mitzvos. These are all lessons that people of leadership have to ingrain themselves with so that they become a proper example for the tzibur. And finally, the last thing to discuss is what Rabbi Bachi says on the nedava that they gave, above and beyond the Shesha Gos Tzav. Zos Chonakas Mizbech, Yomi Moishach Osol, Meis Nesia Yisrael, Karos Kesef, Shemes, they all gave, right? They all gave bowls of silver. Exactly. Each one, the same weight of silver. The same bowl. Mizrake, yeah. Kesef, Shemasar. Basins of silver. Kapos, Zahav. Spoons of gold, Shemasre. Everybody brought exactly the same thing. Exact the same weight of silver, exact the same kelim. Says Rabbi Nabache, they all had kavana to bring exactly the same thing as they wanted to be total unity. And yet, says Rabbi Nabache, each one had a unique kavana for Yeshivat. We see also a fundamental idea of an example they're meant to set for the Jewish people. Unity? Homogeneity? And yet individuality. We, right, people from our cut from our bolt of cloth, tends to associate individuality, it's only if it looks different. If I look different, if I walk around with some sort of outlandish sweatshirt that says, "Won't you please adopt me? My mother was a mandrel," you know, something to that effect. So then we have no individuality. If, God forbid, I'm wearing the same outfit as someone else, my goodness, it's cause and reason to cast oneself from the nearest parapet. But that's not real individuality. That's totally superficial. Here we see in the Nevi'im, unity and yet individuality. We can all blend together to become a unit and yet be distinct, unique individuals. Another lesson. Seder. Okay. Hatzlacha, you will. If you listen to this first, then afterwards you can listen to the two-part series on Pahlowska. Be well.